The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this service of worship today is the verse number 6 of Malachi chapter number 3. Where it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, recently we've been looking at some of the attributes of God. We've considered His wisdom, His power, His holiness, His justice, His goodness, His truth, and last Lord's Day, His unity. Indeed, regarding the attributes of God, one famous preacher of a bygone day said these words. They said, "I know nothing which can so comfort their soul, so calm the swelling billows of grief and sorrow, so speak peace to the winds of trial as a devout musing upon the subject of the Godhead." In other words, they were saying, by a consideration of God, of who God is and what God is, they were greatly blessed and helped and encouraged and comforted in their life and in the battles of life. Now today I want us really just to bring our study of God's attributes to a close. And in doing so, I want us to look at the attribute of God's unchangeableness. In other words, the fact that God is unchanging. And mention of that is made here in Malachi chapter 3 in the verse number 6. And here the Lord is speaking to His ancient people through His servant Malachi. And He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." If you go to verse 1 of the chapter, you'll see there at the beginning of the chapter, how mention is made prophetically of John the Baptist, who would come to this world, who would be the forerunner for Christ, who would prepare the way for Christ. Verse 1 says, the Lord says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And that is a prophetic reference to John the Baptist. You'll see also there in the latter part of verse 1 how the actual advent and coming of Christ, His first advent and coming to this world, was also foretold in this prophecy. It says, "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And my true, the words of verse number 6, our text this morning, the Lord here was really ratifying to His people the certainty of these great promises when He says to His ancient people, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And my such words there really highlight the fact that God is one who does not change. And my, in the immediate context here of this very chapter, the Lord here was showing His ancient people that what He had decreed would most certainly come to pass. And you and I know from the sacred record of Holy Scripture that John the Baptist did come. He did come as a forerunner to Christ, and he did prepare the way for the coming, the public ministry of Christ in this world. We also know as well from the Holy Scriptures that Christ's first advent took place. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Galilee and in Nazareth. And he preached the Word of God. He proclaimed the Word of God. And He went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins. Indeed, as He came the first time, He will most surely also come the second time. And I believe also there in those words of verse 1, there's a pointer to the coming again of Christ the second time in great power and in great glory to this world and to the scene of time. Just as He came the first time, so He will most surely, most definitely come the second time as well to this world and to this scene of time. And when God says here in our text, in the context of this chapter, "I am the Lord, I change not," He was setting before His ancient people what He had said, what He had stated here, particularly in this chapter, would most certainly come to pass, because God is one who changes not. And people, today it is this glorious attribute of God's unchangeableness, the fact that God is unchanging. that I want us to look at as it was a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to God's people in the day of Malachi the prophet. May it also be a challenge, a blessing, and an encouragement to all our hearts, young and old alike in this gathering, in the ways of the Lord our God. First of all, I want you to consider with me the meaning of God's unchangeableness. What does it mean when God says, I am the Lord, I change not? Well, when we think about that, we can say God is one who is unchangeable in his essence as the most pure spirit. God is one who never changes. Think of what James says about God. In James 1 verse 17, he describes him there as the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You will agree with me this morning that everything in this world changes. Everyone in this world changes. Nothing stays the same. The hymn writer says, change and decay in all around I see. But people, this is not so with God, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. This is not so with God, the God of heaven and earth. He cannot change. And by the fact that God does not change, it means that he is unchangeable, as we've emphasized over these weeks and months, that he is unchangeable in all his attributes, in the attribute of his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, his truth, and indeed all his other attributes are things that do not change. They are the great constants, not only of time, but all of the countless ages of eternity to come. My, in all these things, my, as God has been in the past, he is the same today, and he will be the same in all the countless ages of eternity to come. The psalmist speaks of God in Psalm 102, verse 27. He says, but thou art the same, he cannot change. The fact that God doesn't change also means that he is unchangeable in all his plans and all his decrees. In Isaiah 46, in the verse number 10, God says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. People in our meeting, you and I may make our best plans. With every detail, so to speak, we may make the best made plans in the world, but those plans, no matter how well intended, may never happen. They may never come to pass. Circumstances may dictate that in our lives. That is never so with God. Every plan and every purpose of God will be fulfilled to the last letter, to the jotting of the last I of God's plan and purpose, and the stroking of the final T of God's plan and purpose. It will all be fulfilled to the last letter. And believer in Christ, surely this is a great comfort to our hearts as God's people. When we think of God's saving grace in our hearts and lives and salvation, believer, the very fact that God has saved you by his grace also means that one day he will bring you safely into glory, into heaven itself. For that purpose of salvation in your life will be fulfilled by God to the very last letter. You remember what Jude says in verse number 24 of his little epistle. He says to God's people, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Child of God, God's plan and purpose of redemption will be fulfilled in your life. Also, we can say this fact that God is unchanging. It also means that he is unchanging in his promises. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And believer, let this truth be etched in your soul, in your mind. God's promises are sure. They are unchanging. Indeed, they are an unchanging rock for you to rest your faith upon in every changing providence and every changing circumstance of life that rolls in upon you. There was once a master of a bygone day, and He noticed something different about a servant who was a Christian. And he asked that Christian servant, "Why are you always so happy?" And the old Christian servant, he replied, "Master, I throw myself flat down on the promises of God, and there I lie, and that is why I fear no fall." He was a man who rested on the promises of God. Believer, follow his example. Lean your faith on the unchanging promises of God. Lean your faith upon them. Not only lean your faith upon them, but day by day, plead them before God, your heavenly Father, in the place of private and the place of public prayer. You know, when we think further here of the meaning of God's unchangeableness, we can also say that he is unchangeable in his love. Not only that, he is unchangeable in the objects of his love. Think of what Jeremiah says about that in Lamentations 3:22. He says, "His compassions fail not." The love of God in Christ is an unchanging love. Turn with me, please, in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter number 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Look with me, please, at verse number 10. And here's a verse that really highlights this point we're seeking to make, that the Lord is unchanging in his love and in his people who are the objects of his love. Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 10. It says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Believer, this is the Lord's promise for you. This is the Lord's promise for all of his redeemed church, his redeemed children. He says, "My kindness shall not depart from thee." It speaks of his everlasting, eternal love upon you and every redeemed member of the body of Christ. Yes, I'm sure every single one of you will agree with me in the meeting today that the love of others changes. That is a fact. Maya, it changes, it decays. Indeed, our love for things and indeed for people, it waxes, it wanes, it changes. Our love even for God as his people, it waxes, it wanes, it changes. But this is not so with God. This is not so with our Lord and our Heavenly Father. Believer in Christ, he loves you today. Understand this. As much as he loved you that time when you were saved by the grace of God, and his love will be unchanging toward you for all the countless ages of eternity to come. There's a great gospel hymn we often love to sing, and by the hymn writer got it right when they said, "Let us sing of this love that can never decay." And my, the love of Christ for his people, it's a love that can never decay. It's an undecaying love. It's an eternal love, an everlasting love. Also, as we think further about the meaning here of God's unchangeableness, we can also say that he is unchangeable in his threatenings. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you're unsaved in the meeting this morning, this is something you need to understand and remember. It's a warning note from God to your soul. It means this, that eternal punishment in hell awaits you. If you die unsaved, if you leave this world in your sin as an unrepentant sinner before a holy God. For the Bible says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." The Word of God says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." Maranatha. In other words, let him face the judgment of God, be accursed at the coming of Christ in power and in glory. In other words, cut off from God, from heaven, forever and ever. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting this morning, let me say this, to escape this punishment for sin as an unrepentant sinner, now in time you must repent of your sin before God. Confess your sins to God and trust in Christ. Trust in his sacrifice. Trust in the blood that he shed for the cleansing away of your sin and the saving of your immortal, eternal, never-dying soul. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes are we healed. What think ye of Christ? Pilate asked the question, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Tell me today, what have you done with Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Have you confessed your sins to Him? Tell me today, as you sit in this meeting, are you saved? Are you saved from the wrath to come? For despite what man says, despite what the world says today, God is one who judges sin. God is one who punishes sin. The Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Yes, we see here the meaning of God's unchangeableness. But as we move on in our message today, notice not only the meaning of God's unchangeableness, but secondly, notice the people who can rejoice in God's unchangeableness. You look at what our text says there in Malachi chapter number 3 and the verse number 6. It says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you'll notice there in the verse that mention is made of a specific people. It says there, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And that leads us to ask the question, who are the sons of Jacob? Who are this people here that is mentioned by the Lord in our text? Well, the sons of Jacob are all those whom God has chosen in love unto everlasting life and everlasting salvation. In Romans chapter 9 and the verse number 13, the Lord says there, Jacob have I loved. And believer, let me say this to you in the meeting today. As a son of Jacob, God has chosen you in love in Christ unto salvation. Think of what He says in John 15. He says, I have chosen you. And in choosing you, the Lord has drawn you in love and grace to that place of repentance toward God, to that place of saving faith and trust in Christ for eternal salvation. He says in the book of Jeremiah, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Also, we can say further here about the sons of Jacob that they are a people who have a particular right, indeed a particular title. My Genesis tells us how Jacob of old, he obtained the blessing of the birthright. And that entitled him to obtain his father's blessing. Well, believer, the moment you trusted Christ as Savior, that moment, whenever that was, wherever that was, you were adopted into the family and the fold of God. You were made a child of God. The Bible says of Christ, as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that have believed in His name. Therefore, as a child of God, you have a right to confide in this great truth of God's unchangeableness, the fact that God does not change. And my indeed, you have a right to all the blessings of God as a believer in Christ. A right, a title deed to all the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to what Paul said to the believers in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 3. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. And believer, as a child of God, as a son of Jacob, who has entered into the family and fold of God, you have a title deed. You have a right to all the blessings of God that are for you in Christ Jesus. We can also say further this morning that the sons of Jacob, and you'll see this from the scriptures, are a people of peculiar trials. You study the life of Jacob in the Old Testament. And one thing you will see about his life, that it was one trial after another. You remember Jacob as an old man speaking in Genesis 42 verse 36. He said these words. He says, All these things are against me. My, the winds of trial seemed ever to be blowing upon him, ever to be blowing, as it were, into his face day by day. And perhaps, child of God, that is how it is with you in our meeting here this morning. As you look over your life and review it, it seems to be as if it's one trial after another, blowing in upon you, coming your way day by day in your Christian life and the Christian experience. Let me encourage you, dear believer in Christ, in the midst of all the trials of life that may seem to be against you, you can rest upon this glorious truth that God is one who changes not. He does not change in all the changing trials and adversities of life. We can say further that the sons of Jacob are a people of faith. What does the Bible say about Jacob and indeed about others? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, this is what it says. It says, they all died in faith. And you study the life of Jacob in the Old Testament. Yes, he had many faults. He had many failings. He had many shortcomings. But nonetheless, you'll see this overriding picture in his life. He was a man of faith. And my faith is seen in the fact that he was a man who prayed and knew what it was to pray and to seek God and call upon God. Genesis chapter number 32 and the verse number 26. It speaks of him there at Peniel, wrestling with God in prayer. And there at that place he prevailed with God in prayer. And he says, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. My, he obtained power of God from that day onward. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. A prince hast thou power with God is the meaning of the name of Israel. His life was marked by faith as a child of God. His life was marked by prayer. Oh, people of God, as we identify ourselves under this title of the sons of Jacob, let us ask ourselves the question today, is our lives marked by faith? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Are our lives marked by prayer, seeking God and calling upon the name of the Lord? This is what it means, as it says in our text, to be a son of Jacob. Our lives seasoned with prayer and with faith. Notice one final thing in connection with our text this morning. Notice the blessings that flow from the unchangeableness of God. Look again at Malachi chapter 3 in the verse number 6. God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Notice those last three words, are not consumed. Note that phrase, they're not consumed. It means deliverance. Deliverance from everlasting hell and punishment in hell for our sins. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 8. And look at how that great chapter begins, dear believer. Romans chapter number 8 and the verse number 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's your position today, child of God in Christ. Saved from the condemnation of your sin, believer, because of the Lord's unchanging grace and salvation, you can never be condemned or judged or punished for your sins in hell, because that punishment for you was meted out upon Christ as your substitute upon the cross of Calvary when he cried out, it is finished. Oh, the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And believer, the Lord who has saved you by his grace, he will never take away your salvation. God's salvation, I tell you this, is an eternal salvation. It's an everlasting work. Think of what Peter said to God's people in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, we are kept, he says, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And Peter was writing there to believers who were going through the fiery trial. He reminded them of their security in Christ, that their salvation was eternal. It wasn't temporal. It wasn't passing. It wasn't fleeting. It was an everlasting work. God's salvation, I tell you, is an everlasting work. It's an eternal work. Also, these words here, not consumed, they have the meaning also of the child of God not being ensnared by the sins or with the sins or the temptations of this evil world. In other words, through Christ,
And through His grace and power in their lives day by day, they can live above the world in sin and live to the praise and to the glory of God and Christ in their lives. You turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And look with me, please, there at the verse number 8. And believer, here's a verse to encourage you to live for God in your home, in your workplace, in your community, wherever God leads you in His providence, that you can live to the glory of God, not through your own strength, but through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that is abundantly sufficient for every believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and the verse number 10, it says, "And God is able to make all the grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work." Believer in Christ, in and of ourselves, you and I, yes, we are weak. We have no strength of our own to fight the world, the flesh, the devil, temptation. But through Christ, through His grace, through His strength, you and I can be more than conquerors for God in this evil world in which we live. Believer, the Lord God does not change. He will not leave you, as it were, to fend for yourself here on this earth. His promise to His people is this: "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He cannot deny Himself. My due to His unchanging grace, believer, He has preserved you to this very point in time, and He will keep you. Keep you unto eternal life, unto eternal glory itself. You think of the testimony of John Newton and his great hymn, "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound. I'm sure it's a favorite of every single one of us in this meeting. And what does he say about God's preserving grace in his life in the midst of that great hymn? He says this: "'Twas grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." He was resting on the grace of God. Believer, in the light of God's unchanging grace and eternal salvation, let us daily thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that He has saved us, that He has not left us to Himself or to ourselves. Let us rejoice today in Christ, as we were singing earlier on, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything else changes, but God does not change. Christ does not change. The Holy Spirit does not change. Rest and abide and depend upon Him day by day. And friend, if you're not saved, if you are to escape being consumed in the fires of hell for your sin, if you are to escape being consumed in the great judgment of God at the end of time when Christ comes again, then you need to flee unto Christ. The Bible says flee from the wrath to come. And when you think of the word flee, there's urgency there. There's not hesitation. There's not halting, as it were, between two opinions. There's not holding back, no. There's earnestness there. There's zeal there. There's fear there. You remember what the angel said to Lot: "Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." I tell you this, if you're not to be consumed in the wrath of God for your sins, you need to escape to Mount Calvary. Escape to Christ. Look to Christ who died on the cross for sinners. Trust Him. Call upon Him. Have your sins forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And then by God's grace, God's power, God's strength, who changes not, live for Him day by day until Christ comes. Until He calls you home to glory. The Lord says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." We'll close our meeting, please, with a word of prayer. We're just going to close our meeting in prayer, but we would encourage as many as possible of God's people to wait behind and remember the Lord's death in His own appointed way. If there's one here and you're not saved, you know you're not ready for the wrath to come, not ready for the coming of Christ. Come today to Christ. Confess your sins. Repent of them. Look to Christ. Look to His blood that He shed. have your sins dealt with by the blood of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for the preciousness of Thy word, that Thou hast said to every redeemed child of God in this meeting, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. O Lord, in all the changes of this world, our homes, our families, our workplaces, our country, our communities where we live, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon the Lord, the great compass of eternity, who never changes, who is forever the same. Again, Lord, any in our gathering today, Lord, they're not saved. No hope of time, no hope of eternity. Lord, disturb them today, Lord. Disturb them from that sleep of death and that sleep of sin. And may they flee from the wrath to come to Christ and be saved forevermore. Bless us around the table of the Lord for those that cannot stay. Give traveling mercies. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.